listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Danielle. We are here every fourth Wednesday of the month with Focus on the Liturgy from 9 to 10. And as the title of the show indicates, and as we say every time we start the show, we look at and spend our monthly hour looking at the liturgy and the liturgical life of the church and the ritual life of the church.
And today is Wednesday of the second week of Lent. We are just beginning
happy
a new liturgical
Lent
season. Yes, happy Lent. It's a joyful season. Gotta get that in.
Just in case our listeners weren't aware.
I love Lent.
The first preface of Lent. Every year, Father, you give us this joyful season of Lent.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So we'll be talking about Lent in a little while and breaking it open, talking about the purpose of Lent and some of the ritual actions that occur during this season of preparation for the Easter sacraments.
And then we will spend at least the second half, maybe a little more of the show, continuing what we've began quite a while ago, Danielle, looking at and breaking open the texts of the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Right, exactly.
Which will be implemented in the dioceses of the United States in November of this year.
It's the first Sunday of Advent, so we have about 7-8 months to go.
Before, exactly, mm-hmm. to continue that preparation, and part of that preparation for using these texts, we believe, is to be looking at them now, and so that's why we've been doing that for the last number of shows.
Exactly, and we're doing more of mystagogical reflections on all of the parts of the Mass, with paying particular attention to the texts and how they've changed. But, you know, the change in the text presents this opportunity to explore our liturgy, our Mass, in more detail and to open it up, open the signs and symbols and the ritual actions and the gestures and so forth to really understand how the liturgy transforms us.
So we began and have literally taken the approach of starting at the very beginning and working our way through the revised text, the English translation, I should say. For those, every show, we've been encouraging folks to go to the USCCB website and to look at these texts, to begin reading them yourselves, to begin praying, reading prayerfully these texts.
And a note to priests, actually, if there's been some questions about, you know, the availability of the Missal, for example, because, you know, practicing these texts are going to be important because the syntax is so different than what we have now. But the USCCB, not only have they put the entire order of Mass on their website, they've also given sample texts from the Proper of Time, which used to be called the Proper of Season. So the texts for Advent and Christmas are on
all
the
of them.
Website.
All
yeah.
Of them.
So in terms of preparing for that first Sunday's proclamation of these texts, they are online. So if you go to USCCB.org/Roman Missal, you can access a PDF of those texts.
There is concern because the Missal in this English translation will be released on October 1st. That's less than 2 months before we start using it. And so your point and that reminder, Danielle, I think is excellent for the priests who might be listening. You can get those texts that we'll be using, as you say, through Advent and Christmas now.
Yeah.
So you can get a jump on it.
The Roman Missals are available for pre-sale right now. There's 7 publishers that are doing it. LTP is one of them. But all of the publishers are not allowed to ship them until October 1st. So that's when they will be available.
Right.
But you can go to the various websites and look and see if the covers and the designs and so forth and see what's available.
Where we will pick up when we get to that point in the show of continuing to explore these texts, we have gotten as far as the institution narrative in the Eucharistic prayer.
Mm-hmm.
In the
We're looking at Eucharistic prayer 3.
And for those of you who are interested, you can hear the previously recorded shows on the Roman Missal from the very beginning, and they are available by going to either of our websites.
Yeah, exactly. ODW.org.
Right.
Or RevisedRomanMissal.org.
And you can get a list of those pre-recorded shows on the MP3s and podcasts,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So there is a lot to do today, but before anything, one of the things that we wanted to do is, Danielle, we extend our condolences to LTP because at last night we celebrated the massive Christian burial for Robert Piercy,
yes,
a well-known, nationally known,
yeah,
person who's been connected to the liturgy world and the catechetical,
yeah,
world.
He really
for
tried
years.
To bridge the gap between liturgy and catechesis, and he was just such an animated speaker and loving man, and he suffered from cancer for a very, very long time, and he passed away peacefully last Thursday, and we remembered him last night with a beautiful liturgy that I just think was a really strong testament to his life and his personality, and we laughed and we cried, and we sent him off, and I know he's singing and dancing with the angels and saints right now. He was just a beautiful person, a beautiful spirit, and he touched everyone he encountered with, if it was just a brief interaction to a very deep relationship, I don't think anyone could say that he hadn't touched their lives in some way.
Yeah, loved the liturgy, mm-hmm, loved the faith,
mm-hmm,
loved teaching,
yes,
the faith,
yes,
and liturgy.
Yes.
Had done an awful lot for catechists over the years. And he worked for LTP, was working for LTP when he did die, but he worked for LTP for the last how many years?
He was there, I think he's been there for about 3 or 4 years, but then he was there 10 years ago and worked in the marketing department, and more recently he was in product development. And actually just before he died, he finished his last book. And it's on children in the liturgy, which is one of his passions. And he worked with GIA publications for,
yep,
many years,
mm-hmm,
and did a lot of work with children in the liturgy. And the latest edition of Sourcebook, which will be out soon, he wrote sections on children in ritual. So we leave with his legacy,
yeah,
or he leaves with a very strong legacy. And
though gone from this life, he will continue to touch people.
Absolutely.
And to teach people about the liturgy and about children in the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great loss,
yes,
to that part of the world. And so eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord.
Yes. And our condolences go out to his family and friends and all of his caregivers and so forth.
I think Lent would not have bothered Bob to be the season in which he died and in which his massive Christian burial would be,
no,
celebrated.
But you know, Bob was all about hope and optimism, and I think if
and
you really look
at the heart
Lent,
of Lent,
that is what Lent is all about.
It is about hope and optimism. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
exactly.
And I'm always struck by that with the funeral rites. I just think they are one of the most beautiful liturgies that of our Catholic faith, and even in the midst of sadness, it is so obvious from those rites how Christ conquers death.
Yeah.
And
the last thing that threatens to keep us from Christ,
mm-hmm,
is death.
Mm-hmm.
And he has conquered that.
Mm-hmm.
And even as we're talking, Danielle, it strikes me we've never done a show on the rites of the
Christian burial.
No,
we haven't. We haven't.
We have not done anything on the order of Christian funerals, when we need to do that.
Sounds like a good show for November.
There you are.
Month of All Souls.
There you go. As we are, as we often say, this is the show for liturgy geeks.
Yes,
so.
And we are liturgy geeks.
But it is, you know, that idea of Lent being a joyful season, as we started to,
mm-hmm,
say, and Lent being really a season of hope and of optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break that open a bit when we come back from this first break. Stay with us. We'll be back for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
The
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're just looking at the season of Lent. We are on Wednesday of the second week of Lent. Where we ended, Danielle, before that break, was the idea of Lent being a joyful season, as the first preface of Lent, the first preface to the Eucharistic prayer for Lent tells us, or looking at Lent as a season of hope and optimism, as you said. I don't know that many people see that, and yet that truly is at the heart of the season. You look at what surrounds the season and the rites that with which we mark the passing of the season, and they all are. Well, of course, at the heart of every liturgy is hope, huh?
Right.
And the eternal optimism that Christ conquers all.
Right. And you know, Lent. In our preparation, in our renewal of our baptismal promises, in the preparation of the catechumens and the candidates as they're being received more fully into the sacramental life of the church, you know, sin is obviously at the forefront of our mind, and we think of Lent as, you know, somber and self-denial and mortification, but that's truly, it's a self-examination to renew ourselves for our Christian life,
right,
and brings us more fully into the joyful life of Christ, and it's all pointing us forward to the fullness in Christ,
yeah.
And there's joy in that, that our sin does not prevent us from being assumed into the life of God.
Yeah, it exactly. It's the recognizing the sin and really looking at its place and its role in our lives.
Right,
that's part of it.
Right,
that's certainly part of the season. The self-denial is part of the season. The traditional observations of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. That's all part of it. Giving something up. But all of that is the means by which we prepare for Easter, and the heart of Easter is baptism and baptismal renewal.
Right.
That's what Lent is all about.
Right.
You see that, and before the show, Danielle, you even made mention of it while we were getting ready. You see that in the rites of Christian initiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which dominate the season.
It does. And, you know, the candidates and catechumens essentially become a primary symbol of Lent.
Oh, yes.
You know?
They are a symbol of the season for us, mm-hmm. who have already died in the waters of baptism. Catechumens and candidates, those are the people. Catechumens are those people who have not been baptized, mm-hmm. and who seek to be incorporated into the death and resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Candidates are baptized Christians who seek to enter into the full communion of the Catholic Church, baptized Lutherans and Episcopalians and Baptists who seek to come into the full communion of the Church. So they are journeying with us through this season. And like you said, yeah, they are an example.
And they help us renew our own baptism. They remind us constantly, every Sunday,
yeah.
day in and day out. And at my parish, now Todd will talk about this in a little bit, but the rite of sending for the rite of election happened at a Saturday night mass. And there's a lovely acclamation that's often sung in the rite. And the words are, "We stand with you, we pray for you, O holy children of God," or yeah. "O holy child of God." And it's that unity between the already baptized and those that are seeking baptism, that they have chosen this. They're preparing for the reception of the sacraments. And then it makes us think.
How do we live mm-hmm. our lives?
How does that affect
yeah.
us?
Yeah.
And many of you have heard me speak about this on the air before, but I went through RCIA myself when I was back in high school, and I had already been baptized. But still, that presence of the community is so important to that journey.
Yeah.
And it is essential for the transformation. And you are being assumed into the life of the Church, which is the life of God.
You mentioned the rite of election just a moment ago. We just finished the rites of election here in the Archdiocese. Every diocese, either on the first Sunday of Lent, or if they have more than one, might be the second Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Celebrate the rite of election and the call to continuing conversion. We celebrated five of them here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We do that every year because there are so many
mm-hmm.
Parishes mm-hmm. and catechumens and candidates. And the rites of election and the call to continuing conversion, they are absolutely beautiful celebrations of the Church. They all take place at the cathedral, the mother church mm-hmm. of the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the cathedral for this rite, and at this rite, the bishop, the chief shepherd, the chief pastor of the diocese, formally elects them. Those who are unbaptized mm-hmm. formally elects them for baptism mm-hmm. this Easter, for mm-hmm. initiation this Easter, and then pronounces them to be among God's elect.
Right. By name we have called them.
Yep, exactly. And they are. They are called forward mm-hmm. individually. The candidates, they come down and they are recognized. The bishop, the chief shepherd, the chief pastor formally recognizes them as desiring to be one in the Catholic Church. And so he recognizes that desire and calls them to continued conversion throughout Lent in preparation for that reception at Easter. So it's terribly personal in that sense for each of the candidates and the catechumens, but it's also terribly communal in the sense that they see the body of Christ gathered in this celebration.
Right. And the cathedral as the mother church, there's a symbol of universality of the Church, that you're not just being brought into a particular parish, you're being brought into this universal Church.
Something much mm-hmm. bigger than all of mm-hmm. us. And they see that every single year. The catechumens and the candidates, I hear from the RCIA directors afterwards of how impressive it was for them to see others, not just themselves, and to see others who aren't like themselves.
Right.
You know, so
right.
you see every color of skin, every age,
gender,
every language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is revelation in that sense.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
It mirrors that, you know, the book of Revelation. And I saw, we saw a crowd that was uncountable from, as you said, every nation, every language, mm-hmm. every way mm-hmm. of life, as mm-hmm. the Eucharistic prayer mentions.
Mm-hmm.
that's imaged in the rites of election. So and then they spend the rest of the season of Lent in intense preparation for their baptism or for their reception. So again, they're models to us.
Right. Well, coming up this weekend, the third Sunday of Lent begins the scrutiny rites. So the third, the fourth, and the fifth Sundays of Lent are always for the those in RCIA, and they're for the catechumens, and their prayers of exorcism for intense purification and strengthening
in these last weeks.
So we're in year A, which any year that there's a scrutiny, you would always do the year A readings, but we happen to be in that lectionary cycle this year. So the third Sunday of Lent is the Samaritan woman, and then
those great Jonine stories.
Yes, and the man born blind, and then the raising of Lazarus, which speak profoundly to our own baptism.
Yeah.
So it's not just for those that have yet to receive it, but there's also that renewal of, you know, come to the water. What did that water mean? And how do we renew it? And how are we purifying our lives and preparing to renew it again at Easter?
The man born blind and the whole image of light and darkness, and Christ is the light. And how you know, we're all called then to examine our own lives to see where do we need the light of Christ. And then, of course, the three of them culminate with the gospel from John of the raising of Lazarus, kind of where we began. Christ conquers everything, even death.
Yes.
We'll pick it up there when we come back after this break. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services' Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're going to wrap up this first half hour of our show by continuing to look at Lent. And before that break, Danielle, we were talking about the initiation rites, and in particular, the scrutiny rites that many parishes will begin celebrating for the next three Sundays. In fact, if there are catechumens, every parish must celebrate the scrutiny rites.
Right.
The scrutiny rites, all three of them, are not optional. They are an important part of Lent. for not definitely, most definitely for the catechumens who are now elected for baptism. Mm-hmm. They are now the elect. They will be baptized this Easter, not just for them, but as you mentioned, for the whole community, huh?
Right.
And these rites are, they are intense celebrations, intense rituals of scrutinization.
Yes.
I mean, the idea is that these are the last weeks before their baptism.
Yes.
And in a very real way, they're the last weeks in which they are the most vulnerable.
Yes.
Am I sure this is the right choice?
Yes.
Am I sure that this is what I should be doing?
Yes.
Doubts.
Yes.
Can creep in.
Yes.
Anxiety can creep in about, and these rites are meant to strengthen them.
Yes.
In these last,
yes,
these last weeks.
And no sacrament is celebrated alone, and the presence of the community in the with the scrutiny rites is so important, because we are praying with them and helping them through this journey. We stand beside them as they're going through this intense purification. And those the rites of initiation that they're preparing for will be celebrated on the vigil at Easter, and where we will renew our own baptism. But, you know, this is the final stage of the journey.
Yeah.
Of our journey, too. And Todd, you've mentioned this, you know, this intense spiritual formation or preparation that Lent is about is really a retreat for the whole church.
I very much believe, mm-hmm, that that's the vision of Lent that the church, mm-hmm, has for us. We are all in some way to go on retreat.
Absolutely.
These we're supposed to mark these days, these 40 days. We're supposed to mark them differently.
Right.
We should live differently during, mm-hmm, these days. Whether that means that's where a lot of those customs and practices that we mentioned earlier,
right,
come in.
Prayer, fasting,
yeah,
and almsgiving.
You know, we pray more during, mm-hmm, these days. Maybe that's what we do. Maybe that's how we live differently in this period of retreat. Or we do without. We take something away from our regular lives.
Right.
The idea is that we should be different during these days, so that we will be different at Easter, and you know, that continual transformation that Christ calls us to.
Lent is all of the 40 days of Lent is an examination of conscience. And, you know, we talk about sacrifice a lot, but one of the something that really struck me about the word sacrifice, if you go back to the Latin root of the word of sacrificare, it means to make holy.
To sanctify.
Mm-hmm. So how are we making our lives holy?
How is God making us more holy,
yes,
through,
yes,
these practices?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the end.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just these things that we just do, but why do we do them?
So that we can be shaped more into the image of Christ, mm-hmm, that we've been baptized to,
mm-hmm,
be.
Exactly. So, you know, Lent presents us with more opportunities for things to do, of social justice things, charitable actions, or looking at our own lives of what behaviors do I need to change? How can I live my life more fully as a disciple, as a Christian? How do I treat others? How do I treat myself?
Yeah. If baptism unites us to Christ, and indeed it does, then in terms of Lent being the period of preparation to renew, mm-hmm, that baptism,
mm-hmm,
exactly what you just said,
mm-hmm,
examining my life to see how, in what ways, in how I live, how am I being kept from living out that baptismal call.
Exactly. And one of the readings that you'll hear on the Easter Vigil, if you've gone through this intense purification and then you're going to renew your baptism, the epistle reading at the Vigil, are you not aware that you have
Romans.
Died to Christ? You know, that is what Lent is about.
Right.
We die to our own selves to be renewed and transformed in the resurrection of Christ.
The pinnacle of all of this,
mm-hmm,
the end of these 40 days, everything that these 40 days have been building up to is in that moment of, for us who are baptized, that moment of renewal,
mm-hmm,
at the Easter Vigil.
Right.
Just like for the elect. Everything that these 40 days is leading to. It's the 40 days are a vehicle. They're,
yes,
not an end in themselves.
Yes.
They're the,
yes,
vehicle through which we get to that moment in the vigil.
Yes. And, you know, I've often think of Lent as, yes, it's its own liturgical season. The Triduum is Easter is, but you can't have one without the other. There's a unity between them. It's an ebb and flow.
Yep.
Lent leads us into the glorious resurrection.
Yep. And Easter flows out of that celebration of the Triduum.
Exactly.
So the full 90 days, 40 days of Lent, 3 days of the Triduum, 50 days of Easter.
Yes.
You know, well, that's more than 90 days.
Lent is more than 40.
Yeah, exactly. So, but all of it is a whole, huh? And so for the listeners, I mean, I think that's key. We're in the second week of Lent, all right? We're not even halfway through yet. We got a lot of the journey ahead of us. So the question is, how are you preparing to renew your baptism? And the answer can be all of those things we mentioned. Well, I've given up this in my life for Lent, or I've added on to my daily practice of prayer during Lent. Okay, that's great. But unless that is helping you prepare to renew your baptism at Easter, I think we're missing the point. How does the self-sacrifice, the self-denial, how is that preparing you to renew your baptism? Right. That's the question that everyone should be asking themselves.
Before we go to break on that, I just want to mention a few resources that will help you through the journey for Lent that LTP does have available. So if you go to our website, www.ltp.org, we have two little booklets. One is Introduction to Lent and Easter Time, and then the other one is Keeping Lent, Triduum, and Easter, which give you a background on the season and some other ideas for prayer and fasting and almsgiving. There's also a great little booklet by Paul Turner called What Am I Doing for Lent? A lot of parishes will buy them as a guided meditation for the days, but we also have one for teens that just came out last year, so can reach the adult audience and also the teen audience. And we have various versions of the Stations of the Cross as well. So check us out, www.ltp.org. Oh, your favorite. I forgot. How could I forget this? The Anthology.
The Anthology, collection of ancient prayers and poetry and songs and antiphons. Great reflection material for the season of Lent.
Thank you for the plug.
LTP.org. Stay with us for the second half of Focus on the Liturgy. When we come back, we resume breaking open the texts of the coming English translation of the Roman Missal.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Lent begins as ashes are applied in the shape of a cross to the foreheads of Catholics. We'll talk with Cardinal George about this solemn season. Do you want to see Michelangelo's famous Pietà without traveling to Rome? We'll show you how to experience the next best thing. And Chicago's Father Augustus Toten is a step closer to sainthood.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to the second half hour of our show. Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're going to spend this last half hour, continuing our exploration of the texts from the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. We've been doing it for a good number of months now. We started at the very beginning of the Order of Mass. We've been going through, we've been highlighting some of the texts that are going to sound the most different. We've been breaking open some of the wording that's in the coming English translation, the images, making connections to the scriptures that are so much a part of our prayers.
We've traveled through the Mass. There are four parts of the Mass: the introductory rites, the Liturgy of the Word, and the Liturgy of the Eucharist, and the concluding rites. And obviously the two main parts of the Mass are the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. So with our last show, we started going through the Liturgy of the Eucharist, and we went through the preparation rites, so the bringing forth of the bread and the wine, our offerings to be made holy, and went through the, just started the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, which begins with a dialogue. So we've talked about the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And that reoccurs in that what's called the preface dialogue. So the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts.
It is.
We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
And then every Eucharistic prayer continues with a preface, which is the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. And many Sundays have a proper preface.
Meaning one assigned to it.
And others, like weekdays or Sundays of Ordinary Time, you can pick from many different options. But it always recounts salvation history in a particular way, often nuanced to, for example, if it's a proper preface, like Advent 1, or one for Christmas, it'll talk about an aspect of the Paschal mystery that's particular to that day.
Right.
And it will recount exactly what Christ has done in terms of salvation history.
Which gives us the reason to give praise and thanks in the Eucharistic prayer.
Right.
I mean, the preface kind of, what I love about it is exactly through how you just broke it open. The purpose is to give, it stirs in us, it reminds us of what Christ has done. And the idea is that reminding, that memorial, should stir in us the praise and the thanks that follows. It reminds us of the reasons why we have to lift up our hearts to the Lord.
Yes, the liturgy is filled with texts of blessing God that we've talked about the glory before of. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you. And in the preparation rites, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have this wine which we offer you.
Blessed be God forever.
Exactly. So we're constantly blessing God and giving him thanks and praise for all of the good things that he has done for us, for our salvation, for making the ordinary things of our life extraordinary, bread and wine, which become the body and blood, and ourselves, that we become the body of Christ. What is on the altar is at the altar.
Yeah. Exactly. And the all of that is kind of encapsulated in the preface.
And there's this eschatological heavenly banquet imagery that is also evident through all these texts. And the preface concludes with just that, with this call to sing praise to God with all of the angels and saints in heaven when we sing the Holy, Holy, which there was just a very, very minor change to that text, a Holy, Holy Lord God of hosts. And then the rest of that is the same.
And the hosts being the heavenly, the heavenly angels, the different ranks, all of the invisible beings over whom God has power.
In every liturgy, we stand unified with all of the angels and saints in heaven. What is going on here on earth is simultaneously being offered at the heavenly
because
banquet.
Because it is eternally being offered in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's what heaven is. Mm-hmm. So that was the visions of Isaiah, the visions of John the Evangelist in the Revelation. What was revealed? Heaven was revealed. Mm-hmm. And how was heaven revealed? A great liturgy, a great banquet. Mm-hmm. It was that multitude we mentioned earlier in the show, from every nation, from every language, from every way of life, gathered around the Lamb and the Ancient One, and continually, eternally singing praise and thanks. Mm-hmm. So when we celebrate the liturgy, enter into it here on earth, we tie into what that eternal thanks and praise that is forever going on.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we do join our voices with all of the angels and saints as they proclaim your glory. And then we launch into the Sanctus, the Holy Holy, as you said. We come out of that
with the Eucharistic prayer. So you are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. So again, that idea of giving God thanks and praise continues. The Eucharistic prayer is the great prayer of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Eucharist itself means thanksgiving, to give thanks. So that is what we are doing here. And this is where we left off with the last show. We kind of continued with that Eucharistic prayer, and we ended just with the institution narrative. So we will pick up on that when we come back from this break, and we'll talk more about that.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. We are breaking open the Eucharistic prayer from the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, which we will begin using in at the end of November, the first Sunday of Advent of this year. Mm-hmm. And we're just going into the institution narrative.
Yes, which reads, "For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you.' In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, 'Take this, all of you, and drink from it, For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me.
The institution narrative contains the what we call the words of consecration. That is the form of the sacrament. Mm-hmm. Every sacrament, if you remember our shows on sacraments, every sacrament has matter, every sacrament has form. Mm-hmm. The matter is the often the physical liturgical symbol or gesture. So like water is the pouring water is the matter for baptism. Mm-hmm. Anointing with chrism is the matter for confirmation. Bread and wine is the matter for the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And the formula for the sacrament are the words of institution.
Whereas with baptism,
the actual words of Christ.
You know, for baptism, the words are in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, for example. So matter and form for the efficaciousness of the sacrament need to be there.
For the Eucharist, as we say, it's the very words of Christ. And in this coming translation, there are a couple of things we need to give some attention to here.
There's one thing, you'll note the word chalice versus the word cup.
Talk about that for a little bit.
Well, this really comes from the Latin Vulgate of calyx, which is can be translated as chalice.
Chalice or, or cup.
Or cup.
Yeah? And we have translated it as cup. And the translators for this third edition of the Roman Missal chose chalice.
Yes, and again, the principles of translation have changed over the years, and which is a natural progression, because if you think in the whole scheme of the English in the liturgy, it's only been about 40 years, so things are going to change and
we're
develop.
We're still young in the art.
Exactly,
of translating
exactly.
Liturgical texts.
So with what the new principles are taking a more literal approach to the Latin text, and this is, I think, one of those examples.
I think there's some things that kind of can come through in our awareness and our use of the word chalice at this time. One of the things I think it does is it highlights this vessel in the sense that it is more than just any normal cup.
Yeah, it's a sacred vessel. And Paul Turner has said, you know, kind of the use of the word chalice models what we're actually using.
Yeah.
So text and vessels are matching in a sense.
I think one of the things it also does is I think there's an attempt here to highlight the sacrificial nature of this vessel at this moment. You know what I mean by that?
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, a chalice, besides the fact that, you know, none of us have chalices in our homes, we all have cups. So it singularizes it highlights it there. But also, when a chalice is only used in sacrificial rituals.
Oh, that's true.
Even pre-Christian pre-Christian rituals from the Romans, they used a chalice in the sacrifice to the gods that they would make, so there is a sacrificial nature about this vessel, and I think the attempt is to highlight that element and that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point. And then that sacrifice for given out for salvation, there will be some questions about the term for many.
Yeah, and for the listeners, we really need to spend some time here with this.
Yeah, I agree. And it's from for all to for many, and really when this translation also kind of makes clear the scriptural connections with the prayer text, and this actually does come from scripture.
It's the gospel. It's the gospel accounts in all of them of the Last Supper.
Yeah,
Christ
it's
says,
for many.
For many.
And that doesn't mean, does that mean that not everybody is given salvation? Absolutely
that's
not.
That's what we need to be clear on. Really, truly, that's what we need to be clear on, because first of all, you can't deny that in the change, the dynamic that's going on, we're changing from all to many, which immediately means what? It doesn't include some.
Right.
Part of it is just
that's
that
the
dynamic.
Assumption.
Right.
Right.
You know, and I think what the danger is, people can hear the change from all to many and they hear few.
Right, exactly.
And that's what's...
But this is a whole theology of grace
that's
behind this, that grace is always freely given. It's free gift. It surrounds us. And we were given free will, and we can choose it or we can we can reject it. And really, everybody is given this grace, but not everybody accepts it.
Yeah, and the exactly, and that's what we need to be sure to remember. Mm-hmm. This in no way. Reflects on our Catholic belief. It's recorded in the Catechism.
Right.
Stated in the Catechism, stated countless numbers of times in the Scriptures, Christ died once for all. It does not change our Catholic belief that Christ's sacrifice was made for every single living
All of creation.
I was going to say every single person, but you're right. It's all of creation.
Think of what's coming up in the Scriptures in the next 2 weeks is the man born blind. And I always use that pericope as an example of God's grace, because it's given to the man whose eyes are then opened.
Yeah.
And that's our relationship.
Exactly.
Our eyes are open to it. How can we not accept it?
Yeah.
So that grace is offered to everyone, all of creation. So when you hear "for many," don't think in terms of that it's restricted.
Few, right.
Because it's not at all.
I mean, many, even in English, many is a number.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Huh? Oh, yeah,
many.
Absolutely.
It's the multitude.
The multitudes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's so much that it can't be counted. And so, When the question rises, well, why did we change from all to many? Primarily, it's that characteristic. Remember, we mentioned this a number of times, that the English translation of the third edition, in that translation, one of the characteristics is that the scriptural quotes, the scriptural references and allusions are much more obvious.
Are clear. And also the Latin phrase for this is the pro multis.
For many.
Or multitude.
Right,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Gospels record Christ saying "for you and for many,"
mm-hmm.
and so that scriptural characteristic is made evident here.
Right.
As we go into this break too, just remember this. Also, you know, part of it we have to see in the context of that upper room.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was speaking to the disciples, mm-hmm. and he's saying, "Yes, this is for you, but mm-hmm. it's also for more
mm-hmm.
than you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
how we should hear it mm-hmm. as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back, breaking open the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Focus on the Liturgy.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Well, Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. In these last 10 minutes, Danielle and I are going to break open the memorial acclamation, the mystery of faith. We're going through the texts of the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
The memorial acclamations always follow the words of consecration, the institution narrative, and you're going to immediately hear a slight change, whereas right now the priest invites us to make this mystery of faith, so let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Whereas with the new translation, it's a literal translation of the text Mysterium Fidei, which is translated as the mystery of faith. It's a simple statement which models other statements in the liturgy.
We see it in the liturgy already.
The gospel of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the body of Christ,
the
blood
of
Christ. So that simple statement then elicits that acclamation of praise from the assembly to give thanks and praise to God for what has just happened, that Christ has become present on the altar, that the elements of bread and wine have become consecrated, and so then we proclaim what has just happened.
Well, yeah, we proclaim what has just happened, and we acclaim who has just been made present in the sacramental elements. I mean, even during the break, Danielle, we made the comment, you know, acclamations, you don't invite someone to an acclamation.
Right.
An
it
acclamation, by definition, is a spontaneous, it wells up from within.
It's a spontaneous act of faith.
Yeah.
And that acclamation, that term acclamation is very important here, because what you'll notice, I think the most familiar,
the most well-known
refrain or text that we're using right now is Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. That's actually not in the Missal. It's actually not in the Latin text. That was an amendment with this last translation that we could use it, but it has been dropped. And one of the reasons for that is there's a theological reason, not only that
it's not in the Latin text,
but it's not actually an acclamation. It's something that's about Christ, whereas the other three are addressed to Christ.
Let's give some examples. There are three options in the coming English translation that can be used for the acclamation of faith. And just listen to them, and let's point out some commonalities.
This is the first option. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. So it's addressed to Christ. It's all about, and it assumes us into that we're professing his resurrection until he comes again. It still has, like, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. One of the things that I always liked about that is it had the past, present, and future intertwined, which is exactly the celebration of the Eucharist. However, that is still evident in these texts.
Right.
We are proclaiming now to God, to Jesus. We are professing his resurrection, and we're looking forward to him to come again. When you look back to the penitential act, for example, those invocations in penitential act C are also addressed to Christ.
You came to call sinners. Lord, have mercy.
Exactly. And that this is the same parallel with that. The second one, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. And then the third option, save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free.
So look at the form of those three options. As you said, they're all addressed to someone. Mm-hmm. Who are they addressed to? They're addressed to the Lord, who has just been made sacramentally present on the altar at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we acclaim that presence, huh? So it's addressed to someone. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again isn't addressed to anyone.
No, no, and it doesn't bring us into it.
Right, and the third one, I think, is the best example of that, the third option. It talks about how we are affected by the Paschal mystery of Christ.
Yes, and when we talk about the sacrifice, and the sacrificial aspect of the Eucharist is very evident, and we're acclaiming that sacrifice, but also noting what that sacrifice does for us.
By your cross and your resurrection, you have set us free. Mm-hmm. We acclaim Christ present. We acclaim what Christ has done in his Paschal mystery. We acclaim the grace and the graciousness with which we are incorporated into that Paschal mystery.
Yes.
That's the great mystery of faith.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's the great mystery of faith. So the format is there given. Christ has died, Christ has risen doesn't follow that format.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has died, Christ has risen isn't in the Latin text. It's important for our listeners to understand why some of these changes have been made.
Right.
Those are the two primary reasons.
Right.
And, you know, I agree with you, Danielle. Christ has died, Christ has risen is the most familiar. But I think the second most familiar is the second option here.
The one we eat this bread, absolutely.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup. So I don't think that's going to be a very difficult
transition
for people.
I was going over the new the revised setting of Mass of Creation with my music director a couple weeks ago, and we're going to start using creation again when Advent happens, and we're going to use that acclamation, and it's actually I don't find it very challenging, even though the music is similar, some of the text is different, and I think the transition with using that is going to be fine.
Excellent. We're going to have to end there in our exploration of the texts for the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, ending with the memorial acclamation. I think that's good. We can pick up again.
We'll pick up with the remainder of the Eucharistic prayer next time.
Yep, when we come back in Easter.
Have a glorious Lent.
Happy Lent, remember that.
Happy Lent. Joyful Lent.
For more information, if you have questions, apparently there were some questions that were called in today, go to our websites, ltp.org or odw.org, or you call.
Or go to revisedromanmissal.org, and lots of resources for free on that website. So check us out. Actually, there's submissions for questions, so feel free to contact me with questions if you need to.
Excellent. And on behalf of Danielle, thanks for listening to Focus on the Liturgy. We'll see you back here in the Easter season, the fourth Wednesday of April. Until then, God bless.
God bless.